listen to that. That's a bop that slaps. It's that man with the machine gun. It's that secret dream state battle music. Yeah, we're dreaming. We're playing as all these different characters. What's going on here? Final Fantasy VIII is popping off in a very weird way. Brooklyn said dreams. Strange dreams, visions.
Dreams, dreams, dreams. I'm, you know, running in here, crotch first, hands behind my back, high knees and tiptoes, just strutting right in, dancing my way.
Everyone is really crotch first in this game, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they love to run crotch first in Final Fantasy VIII. We love a crotch heavy run in Final Fantasy VIII.
I don't know if I co-signed that phrase.
As we are here in FF8 Part 2. As things are going in a very strange direction already, both in terms of the podcast, but certainly in terms of the game. This is the episode of the podcast, Zed, and the portion of the game where, like, the story isn't getting much less confusing, and the gameplay is not getting much easier. Indeed, it may be getting worse, but things are happening. People are introducing themselves. We are exploring all sorts of strange nooks and crannies. The game is opening up. Whether or not in a like a clarified way is another question, but it's definitely popping off here as we are officially members of Seed in this chapter. And we are officially saying goodbye, at least for now, to Balam Garden, as we are going to go off on our first official members of the Organization of Seed. So, like, what? We've graduated? We don't even get to walk? Who was the valedictorian? And, of course, it was Quistis. Obviously, it was Quistis.
Yeah, there's just a weird, like, inauguration ceremony in the hallway.
Yeah. You basically become Seed, like, in, like, isn't it, like, in, like, Sid's, like, private room? He's like, hey, you're in.
Yeah, well, he has an office, but I didn't even go there right away. It was, like, because of the walkthrough that I went back there for some reason. But, like, literally, you're all standing around in the hallway outside of the classroom that you go to at the beginning of the game, and they tell you that you, Squall, and Zell both passed the test. And so you will be joining Seed officially.
Yeah.
And Zell is very excited. And yes. Sid tells Zell to try and control his emotions a little.
Yeah, relax, dude. Relax, guy. So we're officially members. Not all of us. We'll talk about that. Or are we? I mean, there's some interesting stuff going on. And Seed's relationship with the greater world, or at least with a certain underground organization led by a certain person who maybe not is absolutely the person in the logo with Squall. So we are going to open up the story in a significant way. Zed, did you feel like as you were playing deeper into Final Fantasy VIII through this portion of what we're talking about today, and for those who are playing along, we are playing through the entirety of the Timber section. Did you feel like the game was like starting to make more sense to you, or still not quite?
I think still not quite, because we add more factions. We add this whole dream world. And there's just, like, even more stuff going on that is baffling.
Yeah. Yeah, understandable. There's a lot of weird things that are happening here in this game. I guess it's our job to make sense of them, or at least try to articulate what's happening so that we have, something of, like, some semblance of sense here as we're marking through.
Mm-hmm.
Is everything okay?
Can you hear my cat?
Mm-hmm, I can.
He wants to get into the closet. That's not a place for him to go.
That's okay. All right. That's okay.
Welcome, Spooky, to the Final Fantasy VIII podcast.
The Spooky's not even feeling great about the...
No, he's not.
Spooky's like, go back to Final Fantasy VII. Go back to Moogles. Get out of this place. Well, maybe it'll be happier in the dream world as we go deeper into the game. So, last we left off, we were child warriors. we were students at war.
Yes.
And now we're graduates. We've graduated from the Seed exam. Squall has graduated. Zell has graduated. Selfie has indeed graduated, which is just the best news ever. Unfortunately, for like the 5,000th time, Cypher has failed.
He never learns his lesson.
Doesn't know what to do. Cypher has failed. He doesn't make the cut because he disobeyed orders, and he's just such a little punk about it. He's like, eh, whatever. Maybe he just likes it at the garden.
Yeah, he's just like a super senior.
He's like a super duper senior at this point. He loves it. So he has failed. And so Sid's like, congratulations, you graduated. It's like, yeah, we don't get a ceremony. He's like, well, you do. You get a dance party. You get a big fancy gala with maraschino cherries and shrimp rings, as many as you can eat. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we didn't talk about last time, but we should talk about now, is like there's dorms.
Yes.
At the garden. And so like you go like north into the garden and you go into like the dormitories. And so like you go into like Squall's room and Squall can like change his clothes. There's like a few times where like Squall has to change his clothes. He had to like change into like a battle uniform for the invasion of Dalit. And this time he is changing into like some sort of like his like formal wear.
Yeah, formal wear for the inaugural ball.
Yeah. So he's got like, I mean, all of his clothes basically look the same. Just like they're like his formal wear and his like battle wear look like worse versions of his casual wear. But they like they really are just like kind of like reskinning the character. It's not really like super fancy. I mean, he's got like these like what? He's got like these sort of like these like copper shoulder pads. Mm-hmm. I guess
it is. They do sort of put on, you know, all the boys are in what look like Hogwarts uniforms at this party. All the women are in, you know, various diverse dresses, but the boys are all in these like suits with color accents.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what they're wearing as they go to the big ball, the gala, the fancy gala. Everyone's there, and Squall's like, oh, do I really have to be here? A lot of, like, he does, like, a lot of that, like, internal monologue muttering to himself. He's like, I get so anxious when I have to be. And I'm like, wow, I guess, like, I am Squall. You know? Like, so what Squall's going through here is, like, I don't really want to be here. I'm like, yeah, man, like, I know what that feels like for sure. This is just, like, the 10th thing that we've got in common, man. And so Squall doesn't want to be there. And so he's hanging out there. And as he's hanging out, just, you know, chilling in the corner, feasting on shrimp, there's a woman across the way. Yeah, the woman in the white dress, lady in white, who like comes in, like, there's like fireworks above. And she kind of just like look like points up. And like, she's like all personality. And she shows up to Squall. She's like, all right, we're dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Squall's like, huh? She's like, dancing. Do you know it?
Do you know it?
What?
Yeah, I wrote in my notes, this random woman comes up and tries to hypnotize Squall to get him to dance with her, followed by several question marks.
Yeah, what does she say? She's like, you like me. She's like, I literally am just meeting you right now for the very first
time. Yeah, it's very bizarre.
She's hitting on him rather aggressively. It's kind of awesome. She just like shows up and he's like, listen, like, you're, like, really sad in the corner. You seem like you could be potentially great. Why don't we dance? He's like, but I'm a jerk. Yeah, I'm a jerk. And I don't care about people. So, no. She's like, come on. Don't be an idiot. And so she, like, drags him out on the dance floor. And one of my favorite things about Final Fantasy VIII up to this point, and, of course, the list is, you know, not as vast as it would be for some of the other Final Fantasies, but this is something that I do legitimately love. Is that Zed, they like pour that like super intense like CGI FMV budget into like creating a movie where this woman who we come to know is named Rinoa.
Spoiler alert, that she
like guides Squall through a very awkward dance where he's terrible at dancing.
Yeah.
They basically do a waltz. The Waltz for the Moon, I believe, is what it's called.
Yeah. There is a long scene of them dancing very poorly. But it has big, like, 10 minutes ago from Cinderella energy.
Yes. It's amazing. It's hysterical. It's like, she's just like, and like Squall, who up to this point is like this like very deft fighter. He's got the gun blade. He's gone to war. He's fought the things. And then he gets out on the dance floor and he's just like a total bungus. He's like, I don't know what to do.
I mean, he did get slashed in the face. And again, this is still the same day, I believe.
It does appear to be the same exact day. Yeah, it would appear that since we've started talking about FF8, a single day has elapsed.
Yeah. Second podcast, same day.
Luckily, we are going to change the pace pretty soon. But this is like the end of a very long day. But just like, you know, to put a button on it, like this would be Squall any day. Like, he, you know, he doesn't want to make friends. He doesn't feel comfortable making friends, like whatever it is. And this woman comes along. She's like, nah, you're a lot cooler than you realize. And like, you should probably just dance with me because I'm definitely really cool. He's like, oh, all right. And so he does. And he doesn't really know what to do. And so he's like really terrible at dancing. And it's kind of like clumsy and cute. And it's like this actual moment of humanity from this character so far. I like this part. This part of the game always made me really happy. Never ceases to. I enjoyed this piece of the game quite a bit. But she does excuse herself. She's like, all right, well, maybe that was a whiff. I don't know. I got to go.
Yeah, well, and she says that she's looking for someone, but doesn't want anyone to know. So, like, come dance with me while I'm, like, looking around.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like, this is sort of like a clandestine thing for her. She's like, I'm looking around. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And so she's, like, kind of, like, quasi-using Squall, but also, like, she seems like she's just, like, it's, like, zest for life type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So she does that, and then here comes Teacher Quistis, Teacher Treat,
Teacher Instructor, formal relationship, Quistis.
Yeah. So Quistis shows up. She's like, "Hey, Squall, you want to get out of here?" And Squall's like, "I'm sorry, what?" She's like,
there's this secret area where students secretly go.
Isn't it literally called the secret area?
Yeah. Like, the secret area where they go secretly meet after curfew to talk secretly as students, says teacher instructor Quistis.
To the secret area. We need to have a talk.
I was uncomfortable.
Yeah, and he's like, and so is Squall. He's like, yeah, all right.
He's like, this seems inappropriate.
I mean, I guess.
I don't know how to say no.
I guess I'll go. And so she's like, okay, go get changed again, and then come meet me at the training area. So like, we haven't really talked about the fact that like Baumgarten is vast. It's got the dorms. It's got the cafeteria with the hot dogs. It's got the classrooms. It's got, there's like a motor pool. It's got the quad. And there's a library as well. Mm-hmm. And there's a training area.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you go and you get changed back into your clothes. And then you go and meet Quistis at the training area. Because the secret area where the students meet for their secret activities is in the training area, Zed.
The only part of the campus that stays open past midnight or whatever time.
Oddly, the training area open 24/7, which seems like a strange. I hope that the medical bay, which is another wing of the place, is also open 24/7 because the training area is dangerous, Zed. It's like a loop. It's sort of like this enclosed, like Jurassic Park type place.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Not the least of which is because there's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. In the training area.
Wow.
Did you fight the Tyrannosaurus Rex?
I did. It was okay.
Yeah.
It was not the worst.
It's got an intense amount of hit points. It's it's very hard to kill specifically because it has a lot of HP, I believe.
The T-Rexor.
Yeah.
It's called in the game.
Yeah, but it is literally a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, it's a dinosaur. You're fighting a dinosaur in a jungly environment.
Yeah. This school that sends its kids off to war also has a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
That you can fight in the training area.
At least the one. Probably many. So like you run around and Quistis is like, all right, I've also changed. I'm glad we've both changed. Let's meet up in the secret area, but let's fight through the training area first. So you have to like fight through the training area to get to the secret area. And the secret area is like this, like kind of like classy balcony in the in like the training area. It's like, what is this doing here? Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely Lover's Lane.
Yeah, and it goes so
this is
slow.
Where the kids go to meet up to MO.
100%.
Right? Like, this is like they're MOing. It's their MO. This is the MO spot. Secret, secret, kissy, kissy place. And Squall's teacher has decided to take him here for a conversation.
Mm-hmm. In this long shot, this like long cutscene where both of their backs are to you because you're like looking out at this same view that they're looking at. And there's a lot of awkward pauses that go on for a very long time where you're like, okay, do I like move and go talk to her now? Do I leave? Like, should I be doing something? Nope, just keep waiting because they're going to talk some more.
And Quiz is like, so I'm not a teacher anymore.
Mm-hmm. Because she like, lacks what? Leadership qualities. And I put in parentheses and is hitting on her student.
That may be it. Like, so she's not a teacher anymore. Instructor Treep. Treep is no longer Instructor Treep or Treep. She's just Quistis now. Mm-hmm. She's been relieved of her. The Doogie Howser of Balham Garden has been, has lost her license. She's like kind of like it, she's like, you know, earlier in the game, you know, we kind of yada yada in it, but like when she leads him out of the medical bay and back to her class and stuff, like she really is like completing his sentences. Like she's clearly like really fascinated with Squall.
Mm-hmm.
Borderline like is like into Squall. And so like here, like she's like saying, I'm not a teacher anymore. I'm kind of relieved about it. Anyway, what do you think about all that? And Squall is like not giving her much. And she's mm-hmm. kind of like, wow, you're really cold, huh? And like, there's a piece of this where Squall's probably like, okay, well, let's recap this. I got hit in the face with a sword. I woke up in the hospital. You took me back to your class. You took me to a fire cave. You threw me alongside the rest of the faculty. You guys threw me into war. I went to war. I had to go to a gala. I had to change to go to the gala. I had to dance in front of all of my peers, and I'm a bad dancer, and it makes me very anxious. You made me change again. I fought a dinosaur. You've taken me to the Lover's Lane of Balham Garden. You're telling me you're not my teacher anymore, and you're clearly, like, this is a lot. A lot has happened on this day. I just want to go to bed. And Quiz is like, wow, you're
change into
cold.
My pajamas and go to sleep.
You're cold, man. Yeah, so that was like the whole reason she wanted to meet with him is like clearly like, so I'm not a teacher anymore. And like, I don't know what you want to like, is there anything you'd like to talk about in terms of that?
Uh-huh. So getting
her,
awkward.
Getting her Kate Mara on pretty hard. Squall is like, no, come on. Like, you're great, but no.
Yeah.
He's not feeling it. And so she's like, all right, well, I guess that's going to be that. Maybe we should just go fight some T-Rexes together. So like mm-hmm. it's a very awkward moment like this is FFA doing character development.
Mm-hmm.
Character development in Final Fantasy VIII is like, hey, I was your teacher, I'm not anymore, do you want an MO?
Yeah,
and then you're
like, in the secret spot.
Yeah, after we fought a T-Rex and you're like, no, and she's like, all right, and that's it. that's effectively it. So they leave, they're going to leave the training area after they, definitely do not MO.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're on their way out, remember, hey, last time when I was like, when Squall wakes up in the hospital, there's someone there waiting for him. And then she's like briefly there and she walks away. Well, here she is again. This woman in like, sort of like a teal shirt, like a teal blouse with like this green dress. Mm-hmm. She's like surrounded by monsters now. She's like, Squall, help me. And Squall's like, I don't know who you are, but sure.
Fine. Guess I gotta do this now on this like, never ending day.
Yeah, this is like Jack Bauer is like exhausted hearing about it. He's like, geez, man, I thought I had it rough. Yeah, Squall's first day in the game really is underratedly awful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and now like imagine like if he had gotten hit in the face, that's like 12:01, and then he wakes up at let's call it like 6, and then he goes to the fire cavern, he's done with that by let's call it 9, and then he goes to a foreign country and invades it, fights this giant spider robot and returns. Say that's 5. It's like his 9 to 5 experience. And then he comes back. He has to wait in the hallway to find out if he's a member of SEED now for, let's call that, an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
6:30. Go get changed and come to the gala. Cocktail hour, 7 o'clock. You're stuck there until 10. 10 p.m. You are now in the training area, in the secret area where your teacher's trying to make out with you, but she's not your teacher anymore, so it's okay. You fought a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and now this girl is being attacked. You gotta save her. And thankfully, finally, that's the last part of the day. But that's a lot of events.
It's a lot of events.
It took a podcast and change to talk about a single day, this first day.
Yeah. It's been a busy, I'm tired just thinking about it.
Yeah. Had to learn how to use a guardian force.
Debatable. Like,
why does everyone just want to be my GF?
In every sense.
I just want to be alone. Yeah, so you fight these things, like, and Quistis is going to help you. Quistis, by the way, she has a whip. She uses a whip. That's her weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like they're going for something here. And her limit break is blue magic, which is basically enemy skill from FF7. Like, she fights something, she learns, like, the moves of the enemies, and she uses them. This is not my thing, Zed, personally. Were you a big enemy skill? You had to for, like, big guard, like, mighty guard.
Yeah, there are a few that are really valuable in FF7, but I didn't go out of my way to learn them or use them, frankly, for the most part.
Yeah. So you save this person, but then, like, people, like, swoop in these people in, like, white costumes you've never seen before.
Yeah, and when they cross their arms, they look like they're in straitjackets. It's, like, more, like, weird, creepy people.
Yeah, there's a lot of creepy people in this game, for sure.
Also, this boss is, like, this big dragon thing with, like, dragonfly wings. And then he has, like, 3 smaller, like, lizard minions that he keeps, like, throwing at you.
Yeah.
Which was very funny to me.
Yeah, it's weird. So they sweep in, they take her away. She's like, thanks, Squall, bye. And Squall's like, wow.
Who are you?
Squall's like, I have no idea what's going on. I am running on no sleep. The only thing that is even remotely close to sleep was the 6 hours I spent unconscious.
Knocked out, yeah.
This day, it's over, thankfully. Quist is like, I guess this has been a lot. See you later, man. Good luck on your missions. I hope it goes well for you. So you go off, you go back to your dorm, do finally get to go to sleep, but, like, for how long, right? Like, you know, another 6 hours maybe before you're called to the principal's office, where Headmaster Sid is like, okay, cool, you've got a mission now. You're a member of SEED now. You and Selfie and Zell, you have received your first SEED mission.
This is your life now.
This is it. This is your job now. To the point, Zed, that we covered this in our prologue a little while ago. Do you remember how to get money in Final Fantasy VIII?
Yeah, it just kind of happens. And in fact, the first time it happened, I thought I had done something because it just, like, pops up on the screen and it says, like, seed rank, whatever, and you get, like, a paycheck.
Yeah.
It just deposits.
Yes. So you make money in Final Fantasy VIII based on your seed rank, which is, which correlates with, like, I think it correlates with your level in the game. And you can increase your seed rank by taking quizzes. Did you know that?
I'm sure you mentioned it.
I don't know if I did. I can't remember.
I believe it came up at some point.
You take tests. You take exam tests, which you can take in the menu of the game. You go to the menu, you go to tutorial, you choose the test, And the tests are all yes or no questions. And they're yes or no questions about things in the game. About like the junction system.
Oh god.
About items, magic, whatever, about all these various things. There are all these things that you have to do. And let me tell you something, Brooklyn said.
Yes.
Let me just tell you about a thing that you can do.
Can I cheat on the quizzes?
You can cheat on the quizzes. You can cheat on the quizzes. The answers are the same as always they have been.
Hmm?
You can look them up. Yes, no, yes, 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 no, no, yes, no, no. That's how you pass the first one.
Great, yes, I love
no,
that.
Yes, 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 no, yes, yes, no, no. For the second.
No, no.
You want to pass that third test? No, no. Yes, no. Yes, 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 no. Yes, no. If you'd like to pass so that dumb. Fourth test, no. Yes, 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 no, no. Yes, yes, no, no. And so on and so forth, Zed. If you want to just take as many of the tests as humanly possible, there are 30 tests.
That's absurd.
That final test, by the way, is no, yes, no, 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 yes, no, no, no.
Unreal.
It's the final one. Emily Fox texts right now.
I was about to ask,
Jesus.
Can Emily hear this right now?
Mm-hmm. I think that there are some limitations to how many tests you can take at a time. I don't remember what those barriers are, but I do know that eventually you could take all the tests, Zed, and just cheat your way through them and then make the max amount of money because you don't make money any other way. You could sell stuff, I guess, but you make your money because you're a salaried employee of Seed. That's how you make money. And you can increase your Seed rank by taking these tests.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, do that. Do that. Get yourself that paper. Get yourself that paper. Between now and the next time we do this, Zed, I hope that you're a gillionaire.
Oh, God.
A multi-gillionaire.
Uh-huh.
In the world of FF8. Cheat the system. Treat yourself. It's the thing to do for sure. Never play the game without just obliterating
infinite
the test
money.
As early as possible. And
yes.
You know why? Because then you can buy as much healing equipment as you want. You don't have to worry about expending your magic, which, again, you just want to stock and attribute to your attributes.
So weird.
And so, you put in, your actions are, attack, draw, guardian force, and item.
Mm-hmm.
And so, your items, if you need them in battle, just, high potion yourself or whatever. It's the move.
Okay.
So now you're a Seed employee. Now you know how to make max amounts of money. Rob Seed Blind is what I say. Just steal.
Well, it is funny that you say that because when you meet Sid for this in the morning for your mission, he tells you this mission is being done for very little money.
Yeah.
Because you're helping a resistance faction.
Yeah, it's they don't have a lot of money, but we're doing it anyway. All right.
And we're sending you guys.
Yeah, we're going to send you little kids.
It's sort of implied that, because this is for very little money, we're going to send you guys.
We're sending the new recruits. Yeah. Okay, so he's going to send you off on this mission. You're going to go to a town called Timber.
Mm-hmm.
Great fish song. And if you talk to Sid, he'll give you a magic lamp.
Yes, a cursed item, but if one with power uses it, it should be some help.
Did you take the magic lamp?
I took it.
Yeah. Did you have any idea of what to do with it?
Someone told me, I don't know if it was you or if it was somebody in the Discord or both, that it's a thing you use just like any other item when you're out in the field. And then that is how you will get eventually, still haven't accomplished this, Diablos, which is another guardian force.
That's correct. Diablos, a guardian force who is effectively Satan.
Always a good sign when you acquire an item and the description of the item is, save your game before using this.
Uh-huh, yeah. It's
what
nice,
could
though.
Possibly go wrong?
It's nice, though, that they tell you that, right?
Yeah.
It's nice that they're like, hey, definitely do that. So a walkthrough I'm reading as for how to defeat Diablos mm-hmm. is to stock up on Phoenix Downs in case Diablos hurts you real bad, and make sure that you've got both draw and item available. Diablos has three attacks, a thrusting attack, which is effectively how everyone runs in this game. it deals massive damage to a single target. It also has Demi, which deals half the target's current hit points. And then Gravija, which deals fractional damage equal to 3/4 of the whole party's current hit points. So the strategy is to draw Demi from Diablos,
mm-hmm.
cast that against Diablos.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know what its hit points are based on the damage that Demi does because it halves his hit points. So you keep using that until you get him into like the low hundreds, and then you want to use Squall's Limit Break, which, by the way, is called Renzokuken. Mm-hmm. I don't think we talked about Renzokuken.
We did not.
Renzokuken is sort of like light Omni Slash from FF7. You basically just like hit multiple times.
Yeah, there's like a little sliding thing that goes by on the bottom of the screen that says like trigger, and you have to time it right to get the hit to go.
Yeah, you have to pay attention to the trigger warnings on FF8's Limit Break. Have you been triggering properly with Final Fantasy VIII's
Squall? I have no idea.
Yeah, like what you know that you can do this though, right?
Yeah.
Like
I have triggered Squall's Limit Break.
Mm-hmm.
Have I accomplished anything once I've done that? Unclear.
You can do this in normal attacks as well though. I don't remember what button it is. But you, like, when you attack and Squall slashes his enemy, you either, like, hit square or, like, R2 or R1 or something like that. I mean, I guess it's different on the Switch, but, like, mm-hmm. one of those, like, shoulder buttons. And it, like, it's like him pulling the trigger of the revolver as he's slicing, so it becomes, like, an explosive attack that, like, I don't know if it doubles the attack, but it certainly increases it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you get a magic lamp. You can use it. You can get a guardian force this way. I don't know how you've been trying to attack it. Maybe the strategy is pretty good. I think Demi is like a smart way of like just like gauging where you're at in the battle.
Yeah. Well, and the other part of that is if you stock it and then cast it, when you cast it, Diablos will cast Kiraga on you,
mm-hmm.
fully healing you. It's just the timing of like getting it all to work and like drawing Demi is very difficult.
Yeah.
And you'll get one or at max two if you succeed.
That's why you draw it to cast it. I think you can do.
If you do that, it won't cure you, but it is an option. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah, I've tried it a couple times. I haven't succeeded yet, but I have not, you know, put Emerald Weapon level dedication
into it. Yeah, yeah.
It's awfully early in the game for me to be trying that hard to do something.
It is. It is worth having as many Guardian Forces possible because, like, you can equip multiples at a time. Every Guardian Force can be equipped, you know, simultaneously. Like, theoretically, mm-hmm. Squall could have all of them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really make sense, but like you want to distribute it, like you want to figure out like the way that like distributes the best. But this way, like I think Diablos might be like, I can't remember if Diablos is like a hit booster or a hit point booster, but like those are some of his like abilities that you can level up. Like that's really the stuff. Like it's interesting that in FF8, like you don't really want high levels because like your enemies actually level up with you.
Right.
So there's really nothing to be gained from like level grinding, but having like, you know, juiced up their like abilities through like big ability point scores, like that's relatively important. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend that you return to the magic lamp soon. just because it'll be good to have like the stats that Diablos can afford you. But yeah, he's just like this giant demon in a magic lamp that you can fight at any time, assuming you've got the magic lamp. But you've got it, which is great. Okay, so you're going to go to Timber, and you're going to go to Timber via train. You'll go, you'll leave from Balum. You'll take the train. By the way, something we haven't talked about yet. but we could have talked about last week, and just in anticipation of, because we're recording this before we've gotten feedback for our first podcast, I bet that there's at least a couple of people being like, hey, but you haven't talked about the cards. Ugh. But you haven't talked about the card game.
Triple and Triad.
Then, and then there are people who are like, wait, what? Triple Triad. Triple Triad is a card game from Final Fantasy VIII, Triple Triad, which I believe, I think it exists in Final Fantasy XIV as well, which is the second of two online-only numerical Final Fantasies and the one that people actually really like. I have not played it. Is that if at any point you and I want to, like, I don't know, like galvanize a crew of people to form up a Final Fantasy XIV party, this is something that we could accomplish potentially.
Cool.
Sounds like an investment.
It does.
Of money and time. I'm not sure how psyched I am to do it, but my arm could be twisted.
It's a future problem, possibly.
That is absolutely a future problem. But Triple Triad, it's this card game. And there's people who like swear by the card game. And I know that there are like people who feel like there's actually a lot of, and it's not even that there are people who feel like there's actually a lot of utility to the card game. There is genuinely utility to the card game. Like there are important things that you can do. Like you can win cards and then you can turn the cards. The great legendary Thunderbird Quetzalcoatl has an ability, I believe, that's called Card Mod, where you can modify cards into items. And so if you win really big cards and you don't like the game, you could turn the cards into like 100 megalixers, or you could turn it into like component parts to like upgrade your weapons. That's really how you get better weapons, is like with component parts and like magazines that you pick up along the way.
Of course.
That's, yeah, there's like King of Fighters is the name of this magazine that you can find throughout the world of FF8. And it tells you about all these cool new weapons you can build. And that's how you get the availability to build new weapons.
Yeah, and I know I have like some M stones and some screws and various random little pieces of things that I've accumulated over my various battles. And I have no use for them yet.
Yeah. So you could read about it, how it works. But the card game, I don't think is mandatory. I don't think you have to play the card game in this game. But I think that it does help. It does help to get some stuff. I bring it up because I'm reading this walkthrough right now, just as like sort of like a refresher on what's going on in the game. And like you can challenge Cid to cards. You can challenge anyone to Triple Triad, basically. You just have to like go up to them and press square or whatever. And they're like, oh, cards. Yeah, I play. Then you play them in Triple Triad and like usually lose if you're me.
No, me too.
I'm like, oh, shit.
I've played three total rounds of this game.
Yeah.
And I lost once, and then I read the rules again, and then I tied, and then I played against Cid once and lost. And I was like, all right, this game makes no sense to me. I don't understand what the numbers have to do with each other.
Nothing. Yeah.
Or why a card turns over from one color to the other, or just about anything. About there's elements on some of the cards that mean something, but sometimes they don't. And if it's in the right corner where there's like a element booster, then you get bonus points. It's like pile of bullets from Community or the Wheels and whatever game that our DM Adam made up in Dungeons and Dragons right. is one of his characters.
Right.
I find it very difficult to follow.
It's a little hard. I've never really bothered with Triple Triad. In Final Fantasy IX, you actually, at one point, do have to play cards in order to advance the game to a certain degree. So like I tried a little harder there. But I don't think that I ever really mastered either of them. It might be fun someday to like go back and play FF8 with like the very express purpose of just like crushing the card game, but that hasn't happened for me yet. Anyway, I just bring it up because I know you can do it right now. And then when you go to Balum before you go off to take the train to Timber, you can go to Zell's house because that's where he lives, and you could like play his mom in cards.
And totally you can, missed that.
And you can get okay. Zell's card. I think you could always go back and do it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
One of the walkthroughs is like very explicitly like, go play cards against Cid until you win. And I was like, no way. And yeah. He's like, go to Zell's house and play cards against his mom. And I was like, do I have to? I don't think so. Goodbye.
Yeah. Not going to do that. All right. So then you start to take the train. There's a funny runner in the game when you go on trains that like Selfie loves trains.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really described Selfie as a character. Like, we did a decent job describing Zell. He's sort of like the plucky, punchy type. Like, he's the martial artist. He's very upbeat. Selfie is also like super upbeat.
Yeah. She's very, my impression of her is very like kawaii. Like, very, if anybody out there watches Kim's Convenience, the like from Korea cousin who comes to visit, he's like, oh my god, Oni, so pretty.
Yeah.
Like, very much that energy, to the point where when they're planning, they're like plotting how to do this task that they have to do later. Selfie is like, peace, love, everybody get along, basically. Yeah. While everybody's trying to figure out how to like accomplish their mission.
She's like, she's another like really happy go lucky type. And there's going to be a couple of moments in the game where like, there's like some social committee type stuff that she's gonna be like, yes, you know, like, yes, I'm in.
Oh, yeah. She's like trying to plan a dance at one point or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, Squall, you want to help me? And he's like,
no, I don't.
I think you have the option to say like to just like have like a dot, dot, dot answer or to say no.
Yeah. How do you, I kind of love Squall. I got to be honest.
I try to play as the character, like yes. rather than what I think I would do. I try to make the choice that makes sense for the character in this game, in Dungeons and Dragons, in any game that I'm playing. I try to make like the character informed choice. So even though it was like the meaner answer, I said to Selfie, I was like, no, I don't want to help you plan a dance.
He's not there yet. You know, maybe someday, maybe he will. Maybe that's the arc that we're aiming for. But right now, he's just like, everyone leave me alone. Like, the more I've, like, become comfortable with my own anxiety, like, the more I've, like, recognized that in this character as a guy. He's just like, I don't feel comfortable around people. This is hard for me, and everybody wants something from me, and it's tough, and I don't know what to do, so just leave me alone. I kind of love him. I kind of love Squall. So taking the train, and they're on the train, and like, all right, well, I guess we're going to go on a... Yeah, that's them falling asleep, snoring.
They fall asleep, they fall over, they pass out. On this expensive train, by the way, at the time I only had 7,000 gil, and it cost 3,000 gil to get on this train that you have to get on to go on this mission. And I was like, who's footing the bill for this where we're not getting paid anything?
Yeah, this like very, this low financed train, this low financed mission, and yet they want to put you in like the first class cabin.
The seed,
like,
private cabin that Zell is very excited about, like jumping up and down on the seat, excited about.
It's like, all right, well, that's cool, but like, do we have a, is this in the budget? And so, yeah, so you fall asleep. Everyone like passes out spontaneously. And then some weird ass shit goes down. Because it would appear that everybody has a shared dream or hallucination or something to this effect, Zed. Because suddenly, like, you see, like, Squall and Zell and Selfie, like, are all like having sort of like these like almost like telepathic communications with each other, like sort of like these like not quite invisible or translucent, but sort of like semi-translucent conversation pieces, mm-hmm. as three other characters are now under your control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've already played as like five different characters in the course of the first few hours of this game, and now you're playing as three completely different, unrelated, as far as you can tell, other characters who are Galbadian soldiers.
Yeah. As of next week's podcast, Zed, you will have encountered all of the characters that you play as in this
game. Wow.
Yeah. They do it quick. They do it quick. Sometimes yeah. they do that. And then other ones in the series, like, make you really work for it. FF8, like, kind of throws them at you. But, like, yeah, you're in this, like, shared hallucination where you are members of the Galbadian army. You're soldiers.
Mm-hmm. These are people. So all of a sudden, you're in the mm-hmm. uniform of those guys that you were killing
yeah.
over in Dalet.
Yeah. And so, like, you're these three very specific people. There's the gigantic Ward Zabik. He's this giant dude who throws harpoons at people. That's his weapon. He like literally has a harpoon. He'll throw it
and then he runs forward and like gets it back.
Yeah, and again, like very crotch heavy run. Like it's just like it's like front out runs. They all run like Cid in FF7's head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the graphics are better, so it's like even more obvious.
Yeah, it is. It's true. Oh, God.
They're like properly people-shaped yeah, and not like weird little yeah. pointy round guys.
I know. So Ward throws his harpoons at people, and then he chases them down, unplugs the harpoon, and runs it back. And then there's Kyros, not Flock of Seagull. Kyros Seagull is the name of this other guy who I'm trying to remember the name of the character from Soul Calibur. Did you ever play Soul Calibur?
No.
Voldo. His name was Voldo in Soul Calibur, who like is sort of like this like weird like S&M type guy who you play as, who has like all these blades on his hand, mm-hmm. on his hands. He's sort of like kind of like fantasy steampunk Edward Scissorhands type that like kind of like his body like gesticulates weirdly as he comes up and like slices at you. That's what Kyros has, except without the S&M component. I think I don't know,
as far as we know,
but yeah, I'm not gonna ask. But he's another one who you play as. He's cool. And then there's Laguna. Laguna Lawyer is his name. And Laguna has a machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to end it there. Laguna has a machine gun. He is the man with the machine gun. And the battle music that plays when you're playing as Laguna, Kyros, and Ward is distinctly different from the battle music that is playing in the rest of the game. It's the music we played at the top of this podcast. It's one of my favorite battle songs in any yeah. of the games. There is, Zed, this remarkably epic orchestrated version of this track
mm-hmm.
With like full string, like orchestra, like full orchestra. And it's just like so badass. And the song is called The Man with the Machine Gun. And it's a real, it's like a real crowd favorite. It's just like, it's such like, it's so funky and it's so different from anything that you hear in battle music across Final Fantasy, but certainly within this game, it's just so different from the standard battle music that I think like it really plugs you into this idea of like something weird's going on. Like, I'm not where I was. We're not in Kansas. We're in a dream world. What is happening here? And to describe Laguna, he's just got like long, luxurious hair. He like apparently has like a bum knee or a knee that like tenses up whenever he gets like awkward, like his like leg falls asleep or his foot falls asleep or whatever. When they announced Final Fantasy VIII, I remember this, they announced like FF8 and FF9, I feel like, or maybe they announced just FF8. Maybe they announced FF9, FF10, and FF11 in sort of like a similar breath, but FF8 on its own. But they, like one of the earliest things that you knew about the game, if you were paying attention to like kind of like the press and the hype machine, was that Final Fantasy VIII was going to have like two sort of central characters. One is Squall and one is Laguna. And you didn't really know what that meant. And like, I think like you kind of figured that like, all right, well, maybe like the balance is like half and half. But like, how are they going to intersect? Like, what's that all going to look like? And I'll leave you still in the dark as far as that balance, although I'm sure that you're picking up that this is more Squall's game than Laguna's. Mm-hmm. But Laguna's a really important character, and is like a very clearly different energy than Squall. Like, yeah. Squall doesn't have friends, doesn't care, doesn't want to talk to people. And then there's Laguna with like Kyros and Ward, these other Galbadian soldiers, and they're all just like massively tight. Like, these mm-hmm. are like the three best friends that anyone could have.
Yeah, they've all clearly been like fighting together for a long time, and they're always working as a team.
Yeah. So they're part of the Galbadian army. They're like, at this point, I think like it starts to become clear that like the Galbadian army, like they are like a very, this is like, they were like a really powerful army. They're like, you know, the huge military power in the world, and that they're kind of to be feared. And so it's like, why are these like cool people there? Like, why are these seemingly like nice people like working for him? So it's like a kind of like a mystery baked into what's going on here. So you're fighting around in the forests, you fight through the forests, like Squall and his friends or friends in deep quotes are like sort of narrating it, being like, what is this? What is this shared hallucination that's going on? You end up with Laguna and Kyros and Ward in this city and at like a piano bar.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a pianist here named Julia.
Yeah, who Laguna has a big crush on.
He's like, oh, I love Julia. Julia Gulia. Big Julia fan. And Kyros and Ward are like, why don't you go talk to her?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I, cause I'm so afraid. I'm so scared to do it. I don't want to. And so like, she's playing this song on the piano. It's like, pretty catchy. Wonderful. You know, I don't know. They're like a pop ballad version of that song deeper into the game with full lyrics and everything. And like, it turns out that like Laguna's just like, he's like always been like coming to this piano bar and like watching and like being really psyched about the thing. And then
they have their regular table at this place.
And Julia's like, hey, you, why don't you come meet me at the special area?
Yeah, in the secret room.
Let's go to the secret area.
Because this piano bar is in the hotel.
Yeah,
so she has a Julia has a room at the hotel.
Yeah. So she's like, hey, how about you come meet me in the secret area of this hotel, aka my room. Mm-hmm. And Laguna, I do think like Laguna has this, the character design on Laguna. Laguna's great. Laguna's one of my favorites. He like does this thing where like he just like walks around it like in like a box square. Like he just like sort of like with like his like deeply like stiff leg, and he's like, ah, God, ah, gee, oh no, oh, I'm so nervous. But yeah, like he goes to Julia's room, and they just like, it seems like they just have like a really nice, pleasant, long evening of talking.
Except she says, because I wrote this whole romantic scene in the hotel room is bizarre.
Yeah,
because she says, you have such beautiful eyes, dot, dot, dot. Don't worry. I'm not going to pluck them and eat them. I just want to talk, gazing into those eyes.
Yeah.
And upset it.
And he's like, oh, well, that wasn't necessarily what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to pluck my eyes out and eat them.
Yeah.
But now I'm a little concerned.
But now I'm a little concerned that maybe that's what you actually want to do. And if that is actually what you want to do, I think I got to, like, get my knee back in fighting shape and, like, I don't know, like, dive out the window.
Like, fix this leg cramp or whatever.
Yeah, whatever's going.
Go.
They have, like, aside from that, they have, like, a very pleasant talk. I guess it's a fairly big aside from that.
Yeah, aside from the I may or may not pluck your eyes out and eat them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's okay.
Yeah. So, like, what? How does this end? Because then the dream ends and everybody wakes up, right?
Mm-hmm. They wake up on the train and Selfie says, there's no way we can understand this. Let's just concentrate on our first mission.
Yeah. So they all wake up from the dream and they're like, so we just had a shared dream, right? And even Squall's like, yeah.
Yeah.
We did. And like everyone's like, should we talk about it? They're like, no, nope. We're on a mission.
We're not going to explain any of that to you, player. We're just going to move on.
They're like, no, I think though that like probably that's a very important piece of the game, but it might be too early to like really dig into any kind of explanation. So let's just like offload that for later. And everyone's like, well, yeah, I guess that makes sense. But that's happening. So now like you've been introduced to this. I don't think that it is to spoil anything for you, Zed, to say that like this will happen again. And may happen a couple of times. And so there is this sort of like side parallel story that's happening here. And like this sort of like question of what does it mean? What's the point of it? How is it intersecting with the main story? Is definitely something to track. It's definitely something that we will track. But for the listener, it's just important to like stress that like there's everything that's going on with Squall and Seed. And then there is sort of like this other alternate dream story that's happening with this very plucky dude named Laguna, who just like seems like sort of like he like what did he say? He's like, I wanted to be a journalist. he didn't want to be a soldier. He wants to be a travel writer, this guy. And like Ward and Kyros are his best friends, and like none of them want this anymore. They don't want to be fighting or anything. So it is kind of interesting that you're like tracking two stories where like your main characters are like excitedly embarking on into like physical militarized conflict. Mm-hmm. And then you're playing as these seasoned like warriors, these like soldiers who want to escape the conflict.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how this is happening as a collective dream or what the game is ultimately going to be trying to say with these parallel stories, but it does kind of give you this like, you know, on both sides of a conflict, there are humans.
Right.
And if you're, you know, going into war, there is a human toll to that.
Yeah.
And like, how is that going to unfold?
Yeah. I'm trying to think like how deep will they go with that? Yeah. We'll talk it through. I think it's worth, it's certainly worth having our eyes on it. Put our eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
Those eyes that we're gonna not pluck and eat, I promise. All right, so they're like, okay, we just gotta focus on the mission. So they take the train, they arrive in Timber again, just a great fish song, and they get to Timber and they link up with Zone and Watts of the Forest Owls.
Yes.
And it's Zone who has the ulcer, or is it Watts who has the ulcer? I think it's Zone.
I think it's Zone, yeah.
Yeah, he's just like got like chronic stomach
pain.
He's like,
which is really sad. Always like doubled over, clutching his stomach.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting character note, because like this is not like a super important character, spoiler alert.
But is very specific and consistent.
Yeah, where like he's just like he's trying to tell you like what's going on, and then he like doubles over in pain. And like I think like, you know, if anything, it's like they're in such like a desperate situation here in Timber under the thumb of the Galbadian army, that like, you know, they need a lot of help in order to like get their lives back on track and to like get like the care that they need. And they're still like pushing through their crippling, like stomach disease to go through. It's like, ooh, this is brutal.
Yeah, it does. It feels very specific and like it should lead somewhere.
Yeah, it doesn't really. I think like it's maybe underlining some stuff, but like,
it's just a character trait that he has severe gastrointestinal distress.
Yeah, all effectively. The time. Effectively, yes. So eventually, we meet the is she the leader of the resistance or a member of the resistance? And it's not necessarily that we're meeting her so much as we are re-meeting.
Yeah.
Renoa.
Learning
from the dance.
Identity of yes. someone we already met. Yeah.
Yes.
Go wake the princess, they mm-hmm. say.
Yeah. She's asleep.
Mm-hmm. As princesses are wont to be.
Mm-hmm. So she's asleep.
And you go to wake her up, and Angelo the dog is here.
Yeah. You can rename Angelo, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can.
Did you?
No.
You just stuck with Angelo.
I'm sticking with all the default names, mostly so for, like, to streamline.
Smart.
There's enough confusion.
Yes.
Without also renaming all the characters.
Great idea. Yeah, so she's got Angelo. the dog, who, I don't know, have you gotten a chance to use Renoa's limit break yet?
Once or twice, I think so, where, like, the dog charges in and, like, does amazing things.
Renoa's limit break is, yeah, she just sicks her, dog, her dog on you. Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, she, like, hits a limit break, and then it's, like, the Angelo rush, and Angelo just, like, bursts from off screen and wrecks people.
Yeah, and there's a few different tricks he can learn over time.
Yeah, yeah. So it's Renoa. She's the one that was like, Squall, come on. Come over here. Get over here and dance with me. Squall's like, I don't know. She's like, shut up. Just do it.
More dancing.
And so, like, Renoa's like, hey, you! Oh, my God! That's so great! The reason that she had gone to Balam Garden in the first place was to recruit Seed for a mission. They had a mission. They're the resistance here. They're the forest owls here in Timber. She wanted Cypher along for the ride. Cypher was the person that she was hoping would be here. Alas.
And that's not who she got.
Mm-mm. That's not who she got at all. Instead, she gets Squall, Zell, and Stealthy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, all right, well, I guess this will be the crew to kidnap the president of Galbadia. And everyone's like, excuse me?
Excuse me?
What?
We're going to do what now?
I'm sorry, excuse me, what? And so, yes, now the crew, their whole thing is... Well, you guys have to help me kidnap the president of Galbadia. Yeah. We hired
We're going to do a train heist.
We're going to do a train heist? And they're like, train heist? What?
Yeah. An elaborate train heist / kidnapping / another train heist.
Like, what are you talking about? A train heist?
It's so elaborate.
Are you guys kidding me? So yes, you're going to now do a train heist. And I hate it. Thanks, I hate it. Thanks, I hate it. The
explanation of it shocked me.
Ugh,
like, the amount of time it takes to explain, because they have a model of the train tracks and the president's train and your train all set up in their, like, headquarters car of this train. And so they explain to you in great detail all of the tasks you're about to have to complete, and there's timing involved because you're on a speeding train going along these train tracks, and you're going to have 5 minutes to complete 7 procedures involving 2 trains and 6 cars, and you have to uncouple cars twice, and then they will, like, rejoin each other the way that they're supposed to.
Bull.
It's a lot.
Bull on bullshit. It's terrible. It's so tough, too. It's, like, really difficult. Like, cause it's not, like, exceptionally difficult so much as it's, like, it's very annoying. Like, it's a lot of timing stuff.
It's like, you gotta run, but then you gotta stop running when you see a guard in the window, and then if it's a red guard, you wanna drop down, because it has a temperature sensor, but if it's a blue guard, then you wanna run, because whatever, and it's...
My God.
And that's one part.
My God, yeah.
And, like, then you got to get to the thing where you got to enter the codes, and there's going to be 5 codes to enter, and there are a series of numbers, and the numbers correspond to symbols, but we're only going to show you the number for, God, like, 2 seconds, and then you just have to remember it and do it, and the numbers are not in the order of buttons that I thought they would be.
Nightmare.
But then watch out, because the guards might come back, so you got to climb back up on top of the train and then get back down. Like, don't do more than two of the codes at once. And there are five codes. Good luck.
No.
And you have 5 minutes to do all of these various tasks.
Yeah.
They walk you through it fairly well in the process of doing it. Like, you don't you don't have to remember every single detail that they explain to you. Because it does at least, like, show you the number code to symbol ratio, but it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's very chaotic.
Massively so.
I was just watching it, like, you know, mouth agape, like, what in the first 5 hours of this game?
Yeah. So they're gonna try and kidnap the president. They're going to, he's on like a special train car, and so they're going to detach his car from the train and replace it with a dummy car with a dummy president. So I don't mechanically, what is that? Just like literally like a stuffed president?
It's Kate Smith.
Yeah. Use this president's
stuffed body
to save the planet. You have to replace the dummy car with the president's car, and then you go into the president's car to kidnap the president. But it turns out that the president was a dummy president the whole time. They anticipated your plan.
Yeah, it was a fake president all along.
Fake president, dudes.
It was Agatha all along.
It was Agatha all along. Vindsor Delling, by the way, is the name of the Galbadian president. What an incredible name. Vindsor Delling. Not my Vindsor.
And in his dialogue, he talks like an internet troll text.
Yeah.
Of like a combination of capital and lowercase letters.
Yes.
Which really cracked me up.
It's weird. He was like,
you idiots.
Yeah, you dummies. And he's like some sort of like monster that you then have to fight.
Mm-hmm. Who's very irritated because his security keeps coming in to check on him.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm fine, go away. And they're like, it's our job to check and make sure that you're okay every 10 minutes. Sorry. He's like, well, you checked, get out.
Yeah. So he's like, he starts off as just like this thing, and then like you have to, he like morphs into like this weird, gross,
like, yeah, zombie skeleton.
Yeah.
I wrote that he looks kind of like the Black Pearl crew in the moonlight in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Except so much grosser.
Like, with like skin hanging off, and it's like very like shambly in movement.
Yeah, Garo is the name of the boss.
Garo.
See,
and this is crazy. If you look at the stats of a boss in this game, it says level somewhere between 1 and 12, HP somewhere between 350 and 3,650 hit points.
Because
it scales with your level. But, like, that's just so wild.
I know.
What a huge range of, like, what you could be fighting.
FFA was going for something. For some people, it really worked. For others, it did not. Anyway, so, like, you have to kill this thing. Have fun. So you do it. You get rid of it, and you're like, all right, well, now what? Shit. You know, you guys paid us nothing to do this elaborate train heist and kidnap the president of Galbania. We really signed on for this to kidnap the president of Galbania for peanuts?
We did this whole train heist.
Yeah.
It was a total waste of time.
Total waste of time.
This is where, like, everybody's in a terrible mood, and they're trying to regroup and figure out what to do. And Selfie's like, everybody, love and peace. And everybody literally wags their finger at her.
Mm-hmm.
They're all just like, not now.
Not
the time.
Nope. It ain't. They come to find out that the president is going to make an announcement at the Timber TV station. The real one, not the dummy. And so what are they going to do here? They're like still under Rinoa's contract. So Rinoa's like, all right, well, let's like take over the TV station, maybe.
Yeah. And the Seed people are like, can we see that contract? Like, when are we done here?
Yeah.
And the contract is very vague. It basically just like Seed will work for the Forest Owls until the mission is done.
Yeah. Yeah. It turns out that like the reason that Galbadia infiltrated Dalit, that town, and that radio tower, so they could make the radio tower operational so they could broadcast this thing from the TV station here in Timber, so that everyone in the world could like watch this program, basically, I think is sort of what's going on. Mm-hmm. That the president has a very important announcement to make. And the announcement is that we've got a new asset here in the Galbadian government. Yay! And it's the sorceress, Zed. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the party, Edia. The sorceress, Edia. How would you describe Edia? Stimpy, you idiot!
So we only see her kind of briefly, but she's like very, I mean, like she looks like a sorceress.
Yeah.
In like big robes and is very dark and like hiding off to the side.
Super
and
then, pale.
Yeah.
Real pale. Like a very like ornate, like somewhere between like helmet and like swimming cap.
Mm-hmm.
Shower cap. It's got like horns and all sorts of sharp, prickly objects. It's got like seashells over the ears. She's got like a flowing, maleficent, robe. She's terrifying. She's very scary, very intimidating.
Yeah. And she's there and surprise, Cypher is here.
Cypher, who has failed his seed exam for the last time and has decided, I'm going in anyway. That Cypher has come in. He's gone rogue and has decided that he's just going to take matters into his own hands. So he left Balam Garden to just like rip it up in timber. And Quistis, who is no longer a teacher, who was, I guess, fired from being a teacher and then just like, all right, but you could be Seed. Fine. So they gave her a job with Seed to chase down Cypher and be like, hey, don't let him do anything crazy. Well, it's a little too late because Cypher has stormed the TV broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he has decided he takes the president hostage.
Yeah.
Let us not gloss over that part. Takes the president hostage, but the president and the sorceress are working together because the president does this broadcast to announce an ambassador and the sorceress is this ambassador.
Yeah.
But then Cypher takes the president hostage and then like has a conversation with the sorceress and decides to quote bid farewell to his childhood.
Yeah.
And join the sorceress and let the president go.
Yes, that's essentially what goes down. The sorceress is like, hey, come on. Don't you want to like play with the big leagues? Don't you want to not be like me, a stupid little boy anymore? And so I was like,
stupid little boy.
He's like, oh, that's interesting. Like, come on, don't you want to hang out with me? He's like, oh, yeah, I thought about it a little bit more, maybe. So Edia is able to like squirrel Cypher away effectively. Just as like Squall and everybody are like watching the broadcast and trying to storm the TV station. And so like that doesn't quite work. So Cypher takes the president hostage. Edia is able to dismantle that. And so now that he's like gone, Renault is like, all right, well, how about this? I am your boss still. And you will continue doing what I say. And what I say is take me to Galbadia Garden.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go and visit another garden. But it's the garden of like the evil military nation.
Dun, dun, dun.
And so what the hell? Like, why do we even need to go there? What's going to happen there? Well, I'll tell you what, Zed, we'll find out next time. Find out next time on another episode of the Final Fantasy VIII podcast. So again, it's like I said, like this, do we like really know exactly what's going on much more than last time? I would say we know more things.
We know some things.
more things have occurred.
Yep.
You know, we're fully on board as members of SEED right now. There's a sorceress who has been announced as like a key figure in the Galbanian regime. This could be terrifying. She has like seemingly like hijacked Cypher. And Cypher seems to be like kind of cool with it. And also Quistis is back. She's like, I'm not a teacher anymore. Squall, did you hear about that? And Squall's like, yeah, you told me. Yeah, you did tell me.
Have you had any further thoughts?
Have you had any continued thoughts about the fact that I'm no longer your teacher? No.
Yeah. This is the dialogue of this game is so wild sometimes. Cause like you get to Timber and you can kind of run around and explore a bit before you get to the TV station. And there's like a house where you can hide out. Where you can like go up into the bedroom and like look down into the alley to like see what's going on. And it's also, it like turns out to be a safe house where you can like rest up after you've battled. And in the house, the daughter in this house says, where did the quote go? It's wild. She says, I can't wait to meet a great guy I can scream at and exchange blows with. What is going on in this town? And people just say things like this all the time, and no one is like, you're crazy. That's that's a problem.
No. Everyone's cool.
Yeah. Wild. Totally wild.
Yeah. And then on top of it, we're also having like lucid shared dreams.
Yeah. And like Squall and Rinoa get in a fight at one point. And Rinoa's like, we're serious. So serious. It hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of drama. A lot of like young, you know, teenage. Young adult.
I mean, there's a lot of teen angst in this game because you're all a bunch of high school kids.
Ridiculous.
You know, you're just a bunch of like, you know, you're in that nebulous area between high school and college in which like you're a child soldier being sent to hunt down a sorceress.
Yeah, you know,
we've all been there.
Stuff.
We've all been there. So it's the emotions are going to be very, very high in this game. I don't know about you, but I'm having a blast reliving it. It's a game that I think makes for really fun podcasting. So the next time we come back, we'll finish the remainder of disc one. So we'll get through like what is still, in front of you in terms of like what is traditionally considered disc one. So you'll meet a new character. We'll have a lot to say about this new character. We'll have a lot more to say about the sorceress. And then make money. That's your homework. Make money. and get Diablos. Mm-hmm. And then there is another guardian force for you to get on a side quest, Zed.
Okay.
That you should do coming up now. This should be something that we do for this next episode of the podcast. The character, the guardian force that you are going to try and get. I'm trying to think of like what's a good tease. What's a good tease? It's one guardian force slot, but multiple guardian force characters.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it is a sort of somewhere between like a mild to major pain in the ass to get.
Oh, great. Can't wait.
Yeah, so that should be good. All right, cool. So that'll be the next one. And it's going to be incredible.
It'll be something.
It'll be something for sure. Okay, so that's next up on the Final Fantasy VIII podcast. Keep hitting us up about your Final Fantasy adventures. You can talk to us on Twitter at Hard Rock Hope, at Round Howard. You can talk to us in the Post Show Recaps Patron Discord. Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps is the way to sign up. We are available for your conversational purposes. We love talking Final Fantasy. Hit us up there. Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps, among the many perks that you'll get there, the ability to play Dungeons and Dragons with Zed and I.
Yeah, it Dungeons and Dragons in the Discord is like
an
even more sprawling world than you have here in FF8.
It's possible.
Full of characters, full of crazy places to go and unexpected games to play within the sessions.
Yes. All sorts of crazy things that you can do in Dungeons and Dragons, and you can play it alongside me, alongside Zed, alongside many of your other favorite podcasters as well on the Potion Recaps Network. So it's just one of the many reasons to consider signing up. Zed, any final thoughts before we close out today?
I don't think so. I'm ready to keep, you know, running crotch forward into the wind.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, with that said, let's close you out the way we started. Man with a Machine Gun, such an epic song. We'll be back next week with more Final Fantasy VIII. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.